Good morning, church. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we have the breath of life in us. We got songs to sing here this morning, and we're in church, and that makes for a good combination. So, Father, we simply ask that as we lift up our voices and we give forth praise, that you would simply meet us here with your Holy Spirit once again, that as we come to you in spirit and in truth, that it would just be an awesome time of worship. We thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thou now stretched on. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Amen.
March to the tune of a love song, singing the King's Jubilee. Anointed to enter the hell gate, anointed to set captives free. We lift up our banner of worship, and Jesus our champion we praise. An army of worshipers stands by his side, baptized in his fire, revealing his glorious light. We lift up a shout, a victory shout, for we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our mouth. And we've declared war in the name of the Lord. We've laid down our lives that the triumph of Christ may resound in the earth. We sing the high praises of heaven and fight with the sword of the word to bind every stronghold of Satan, preparing the way of the Lord. We lift up a standard of worship that shatters the darkness with light, and God will arise on the wings of our praise and march as a warrior who's mighty and able to save. We lift up a shout, a victory shout, for we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our mouth. And we've declared war in the name of the Lord. We've laid down our lives that the triumph of Christ may resound in the earth. We lift up a shout, a victory shout, for we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our mouth. And we've declared war in the name of the Lord. We've laid down our lives that the triumph of Christ may resound in the earth. We've laid down our lives that the triumph of Christ may resound in the earth.
Amen.
Indeed, we do lift up a shout.
Hallelujah.
We do lift up a shout.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Verse 2 says, when darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon His unchanging grace. Grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds solid, firm within that veil. Because it's holding on to Jesus, who is the rock, the solid rock.
To God be the glory, great things He had done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He had done. Great things He has taught us. Great things He had done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Amen.
Indeed, to God be all the glory.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men now serving against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Stand up for Jesus. Step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. Step by step.
by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Hallelujah.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. It to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, burdened with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.
Amen.
Amen. We do have the best kind of friend in Jesus. The God, the Creator, who sees, hears us, knows all of our problems, and is willing to help us out on top of that. He's not someone who's kind of apathetic and simply says, well, that's bad for you. Kind of a poor situation that you're in. But he's sympathetic to us when we come to him. And the next song is Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn, with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Good, good words. When it seems that you pray till your strength is all gone, and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, Jesus cares and he knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to someone in prayer. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. And when it seems you're all alone and your heart would break in two, remember someone is praying for you. Have the clouds round you gathered in the midst of a storm? Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope, someone's praying for you this very day. And peace be still, is already on the way. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. And when it seems you're all alone and your heart would break in two, remember someone is praying for you. And when it seems you're all alone and your heart would break in two, remember someone is praying for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that comforting to know?
Yes.
Not just us interceding on our behalf, but being able to intercede on someone else's behalf. And when you're in pain and you're hurting, it's comforting to know that. Shake the mountains,
only you
can calm the oceans,
only you
can hold the heavens in the palm of your hand. Tell me who
can look inside me.
Tell
stand, only you. With a word you spoke the heavens into place, scattered stars and gave the earth its frame. What is man that you should touch him with your grace? And who am I, O God, that you should know my name?
Only you
can shake the mountains.
Only you
can calm the oceans.
Only you
can hold the heavens in the palm of your hand. Tell me who.
Look inside me.
Tell me who. Stand only you. With a word you spoke the heavens into place, scattered stars and gave the earth its frame. What is man that you should touch him with your grace? And who am I, O God, that you should know my name?
Only you
can shake the mountains.
Only you
can hold the heavens in the palm of your hand. Tell me who
can look inside me.
Tell me who
can purify me.
Tell me who
still loves me deeply,
more than I understand. Only you. Only you. Speaks to the power, the awesomeness of God. Only you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beside me, nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To my path. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the light unto my path. You're the light unto my path.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We Jesus, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father of mercy, be exalted. May Jesus' name be lifted up. For the sacrifice of love has won my pardon, and the resurrection power gives me life. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Who reigns forevermore. Who reigns forevermore.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. He does reign.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in high places. And today God wants to bless the mothers. And I have a word for the mothers today. In Romans 8:35 through 39. Says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors in him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word will I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. We thank you, Lord. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged swords, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner and of the intents and the thoughts of the heart. Neither is there any creature which not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Thank you, Lord, there's nothing hid from you. They're all naked in your eyes. We thank you and praise you today, O Lord, for a glorious day, for a day of victory. A day of celebration, a day of excitement. Oh, let your Holy Spirit today have a free course. Oh, let him move in such a mighty way. Let no one of us hinder him. Let no one stop him from moving and doing his work in each and every one of us. And we want to thank you today for a glorious day, for a day of victory, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we are determined to worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, thank you, Father, for the excitement rising. The excitement rising in each heart today, we pray in the name of Jesus. And let the high praises of God be in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. And we want to thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for having it your way. Not our way, but thy way, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We need you, Lord. We are hungry and thirsty for a manifestation of your power here in this body of believers. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. Let your Holy Spirit touch the pastor as he delivers the message to us today. Give him the freedom to preach. Let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for having it your way. Pray, O Lord, anyone that gives a testimony, we pray for the anointing upon Thomas today, we pray in the name of Jesus. And let your name today be glorified in this body of believers. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you today that you bless the finances of this church. O Lord, we ask you today to provide exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Oh, we thank you, Father, Jehovah Jireh, provider. You are the God that shall supply all our needs. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. You are the reward of them that diligently seek you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The young lions suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, they will not want of any good thing. We thank you, Father, that you are good in your promises. What you have promised, you are also able to perform. And we want to thank you for meeting every need today. And Lord, today, O Lord, put in our hearts to give to the work of the Lord, to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And we want to thank you. And God is able to make all grace abound on you, that you may have always all sufficiency in all things. It may abound to every good work. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for blessing this offering today and making it multiply and be used for your kingdom, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today, and pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Good morning. We're going to take some testimony time. First, we got an announcement. I got a note that says Joe's got an announcement. Joe who?
No.
Joe DiCarlo.
Okay, Joe.
A few weeks ago, Peter handed me a book and asked me to read it for him and decide whether or not it would be good to include in the church library of books offered. It's on the screen. Thank you, Joshua. And after I looked at the book when he handed it to me, and I thought, well, you know, this isn't exactly a book that I would normally pick up and read. I wonder what it is that he has to say about this, or it has to say in it that would be interesting. But I took it home, and as I read it, it started unfolding a lot of new thoughts for me, gaps in my own education. I was a science major, and I didn't have a lot of economics background. But for the non-economics majors in the room, this one was eye-opening. It started out the gate with talking about money in general, that money, in his opinion, was debt. And I didn't understand that term. I thought money is what I pay debts with. But he started talking about how when our federal government prints money, there's a specific process and a cycle that's used that actually when that money comes off the presses, it represents indebtedness on our parts. And then he started going back in time and talking about John Adams' quotes. And John said, one of our early presidents said, all the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects in their constitution or confederation, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. And I thought, well, where's this going? You know, and he went on to talk about how our perceptions are what are at fault here. And when he said this, I want to share one more thing that he said with you. He said, perception is everything. There's something wholesome about the U.S. government borrowing money that it needs to function from a central bank. It's a veil of normalcy, he calls it, that serves to cloak the disturbing reality of the government-run banking cartel. But using economic sleight of hand to deceive a naive public does not make the current arrangement moral or even legal. Our founding fathers knew the inherent dangers of allowing private banking interests to gain control of the national money supply. Therefore, the Constitution gives express authorization to the Congress alone to coin money and regulate the value thereof. But in 1913, Congress handed over these exclusive powers to the Federal Reserve, and the rest is history. By transferring these powers, Congress maintains the appearance of responsibility while secretly taxing the public through inflation. The Federal Reserve serves as a front to hide the real truth of money creation from the public. It also helps to humanize the Congress. Their need to borrow from a bank seems familiar to a naive public. And I can't go into great detail, but there are some intriguing things about how the Federal Reserve came into being back under Woodrow Wilson's administration. And he also talks about during Nixon's administration, when I was much younger and didn't follow politics, how Henry Kissinger was sent to Saudi Arabia and cut a deal with the Saudis that was genius, but it has set us up to be on a bubble of false. It's a false foundation for our currency, which is a fiat currency. We have nothing monetarily backing it. There's no commodity like gold or silver behind it anymore. And some of the observations and things that have come about as a result of reading that book have made me start paying much closer attention to the news. And I even, you know, when I have the time, will watch Asian news broadcasts and Russian news broadcasts and what Britain is doing, and you can see the hand of the people behind the scenes. And just to give you an idea of what one of the people behind the scenes is, think of this when you think of monetary policies being dictated by world governments. This quote, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation and I care not who makes its laws. And that statement was made by Mayor Anselm Rothschild of the Rothschild banking family. So I highly recommend it. It's eye-opening. Thank you.
All right. I haven't read that book, but I'm well aware of the scam. And I didn't talk with Joe at all, but God gave me the same subject this morning to talk about. And I have, I guess I got this note from Joe, but it's my bookmark for the scripture that I'm going to read. And it's in Revelation 18, and I'm going to start in 15. And it says, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And here's the catcher right here. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And it goes on. But the reason I brought that up is several reasons. Actually, when I was taking a walk this morning with my wife, we're looking at houses in our neighborhood, and we saw one that was just totally overgrown. You know, it evidently is abandoned, and I said, well, that would be a nice one to turn over. But and I talked to her briefly, and I said, isn't it amazing that in the last few months that the media has pretty much told us that we need to feel sorry for the banks because they're in such bad shape? And I've been saying to others, and I said to her, how is it that we should feel sorry for the banks? I mean, pretty much that's what they're telling you. When your mortgage payment might be $1,800, probably $1,550 goes to interest on a currency that they created out of thin air. Maybe $100 goes to your taxes and insurance, and $50 goes to your principal for many, many years. You know what I mean? Come on. And I said, how can the American people be so duped? But I believe God has put this in my heart years ago. That and this is not news to me what Joe was talking about. But I've been saying for years that I believe it's going to evaporate like that, just like the scripture says, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And I got a letter in the mail, and you know, I get a ton of letters, but this one is I got this one, I think, probably Friday or something. And it's called the Western Conference of Teamsters Pension Fund. And I did 19 years as a bread man and in the Teamsters Union. And so I got a pension coming. Yippee, right? But this letter, it says, usually I just look at this and I say, I read the first paragraph and throw it away. But then that's what I was going to do with this one. Then I thought, well, I think I'll read the whole thing. It must have been the Lord. And anyway, it was telling, in this letter, it talks about the solvency of the fund. And it's still solvent. But then it goes on to talk about all the laws about what's going to happen if the fund becomes insolvent or reduced. You know, and I thought, well, but they don't say that it is. But they're just sending out a letter like this, and which I've never received before. So, I've often prophesied personally that, you know, pension funds could go up in smoke like that. And, you know, the devaluation of the dollar. Remember how they devalued the peso, I believe, 10 to 1 overnight in Mexico. I think that was some 20 years ago. And so yesterday I'm in my, working around my garage and cleaning up around the house, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm sure happy that I got this roof over my head. And it's pretty nice. And I put my shoes away this morning and I said, I'm sure thankful I got this closet to put my shoes in. You know, there's a great blessing having that roof over your head. And so I was thankful, very thankful to have that shelter. And I think Pastor John said it not too long ago, every meal that he eats is a little, he's a little more thankful. And I think that's the frame of mind we need to have, because we, you know, nobody wants to see their, or lose their place, or see turmoil come. But it could come. And pension funds can be wiped out. And I believe any check that you get that's good in this day and age, you can be thankful for it. You know what I mean? Any pension fund that you get, any Social Security check that you get, anything that's still solvent and you're getting it, it's a bonus. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah. I hadn't talked to Joe all week, didn't have a clue about what he was saying or going to talk about this book. But, this was the same, along the same line. And this is what, God wanted me to speak about today. Okay, any other testimonies this morning? Okay, Pastor John.
Praise the Lord, it's good to be back after having 2 weeks off. And praising God for that. Today is Mother's Day. Amen. So we'd like for every mother to stand, and we're going to pray for you right now. And you men, stretch forth your hands toward these women as they stand, as we pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these women that are giving birth to children. Father, they labored hard, they carried them, gave them birth, and then Father God, they had to raise them. And we pray right now for these women, Lord, that you will bless them, that today they can look back and say, I am thankful that I gave life to my children or to my child, that I did not kill my child. Father God, today we can take nothing for granted. And I pray right now for these women today, there'll be a great day for them as they look back and realize that they did fulfill your commandment to be fruitful and to multiply on this earth. And Father God, I pray for these women that they were not able to have children. That Father God, you will touch them and bless them also, Lord, and minister to them. And we thank you right now for your Holy Spirit descending upon us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And those are great said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I got some announcements today that I want to make. And I particularly want to share them not with you, the church here, but also with our people that are watching us either live or later. Now, one of the things that we're going to have problems with in the last days will be communication. And in our ministry, we have had problems with our email. We have problem receiving it. We have problem sending it. It's been sporadic. And I had people write to me that I try to mail you 3 times. It came back. I write back to them and I hear nothing. So if you are listening today or watching us, please, some of you, I don't have an address to a phone or telephone number. I cannot even call you. So contact us. If you have not heard from us, you have written to us, don't assume that we are simply not answering your emails. We are having problems receiving. So we appreciate very much if you would contact us. I believe that as we come down to the end time, we're going to have problems with communications. And so that's something, you know, we want to discuss and pray about. I had a handout today in the church. I do not know if, let's see, well, it hasn't been handed out because the sermons have not been handed out, but you will get it later. And I really feel that we're going to understand something now, that things are happening quickly in our nation. This last week was a national day of prayer. And the president simply decided to ignore it. There were 2 black Baptist preachers that decided to simply stand outside the White House, outside the fence, not blocking anything, and holding a sign which said, Jesus is Lord. Matter of fact, it says, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's what the sign said. And they stood there and prayed. And guess what happened? They were arrested, handcuffed, and taken to jail. Why? Because they had prayed outside the White House. Never before in our nation's history have you had this type of behavior. Somebody not obstructing anything, standing in a corner, holding a sign that Jesus is Lord, and then for being arrested and will take it to court, prosecuted for what? Praying. Let me say this to you that are here today, you that are watching us, listen to us later, whatever it is. We have come to the place of no return. Let me try to explain that term. To those that are younger, you don't know anything about this. But during the Cold War, the United States had B-52 bombers standing by. We had them here in Rancho Cordova at Mather Air Force Air Base. And on the pad was at least 5 B-52s. Loaded with nuclear bombs. The crew was on a standby for 24 hours. The planes were ready. They were refueled and everything else. And if there would have been a threat to the United States, in less than 3 minutes, these planes would be airborne. They had already given them the targets, where to fly over the Soviet Union, wherever they were going. And they were told that when you leave, there is a point of no return. And that was when they were leaving our airspace. If they had not received a signal or a message from the White House stating there is no danger, we call this off. This is a false alarm. If they did not receive that message, once they hit the point of no return, all their radios were turned off. They would receive no communication. And they proceed to the targets, release their bombs, and then try to come back to whatever was left of a burning, smoldering America. That's how we lived for more than 30 years. America today has come to the point of no return. We have crossed the line. And God is simply saying, judgment is coming. And of course, the Antichrist is on the rise. Let me bring out another point that we need to pray about here today. Probably about 30 years ago, I could be off my time here, there was a councilman in San Francisco by the name of Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk had two attributes. Number one, he was Jewish. Secondly, he was a homosexual. He was gunned down by another councilman in San Francisco, and he was killed in his office. And now, after they made a movie about Harvey Milk, they now want to make a holiday, a California holiday, a Harvey Milk holiday, where simply California will honor this man. Now, very few preachers are taking a stand on this. Let me ask you this question. First of all, Harvey Milk was not a born-again believer. Where is he today? He is in hell, burning, waiting for the great white throne judgment and then the lake of fire. What did he accomplish in his life? He was born Jewish. He couldn't help that. But he made a choice to be a homosexual. Now, the state is going to honor a man that went to hell, accomplished nothing, and was a homosexual, and that is going to be the hero of California. Ask yourself a question. Where are the preachers today? Where are the preachers to stand up and say, this is not acceptable? Do you think that God is looking down upon this and simply saying, you know, this is accepted? It's going to be a judgment. Next item. On March 5th, a 16-year-old boy was arrested in his home. Between 1 o'clock to 1:30 a.m. in the morning, the family was in bed. There was a knock, hard knocks on the doors. They opened it up. A number of FBI agents and other agents stormed in and arrested the boy for being an American terrorist. What had he done? Well, it's unclear right now. But the mother claimed that somebody stole his IP address, used his computer IP to make threats and different things on the internet, and they picked him up. They held the family for 3 hours. They could not call any attorney. They could not call anyone. They were simply told, sit down, shut up, while they ransacked the house. Notice now what I want you to see and hear and understand. They could have come in the daytime. They could have come in decent hours. In the Soviet Union, when did they arrest people? During the night. In Nazi Germany, when did they arrest people? During the night. Wake up, folks. This is where we are. We're going to be arrested down the road for being Christians. They will come for us during the night. Are we doing something about it right now? No, everyone is sleeping and saying, you know, who cares? Furthermore, the police said in that city where they lived that there had been calls to 911, not from the mother's phone, but someone outside had called 911, claimed to be the mother, and asking the police to come and pick up the boy, their drugs and things in the house. These people were harassed. We need to pray against this. On May 5th, 2009, just about 5 days ago, the Council of Washington, D.C. passed a resolution that they will accept homosexual marriages. The state of Maine passed legislation probably a little bit earlier than that, a few weeks earlier, that now homosexual marriages are legal in the state of Maine. I want to challenge you today to understand this. We cannot, as a nation, continually spit God in the face, slap him, and do the things and expect no judgment. Judgment is going to fall. And I believe it is time for ministers and church members to stand up and say, enough is enough. The day will come when we will not have a voice. Right now we have a voice. It is a privilege to be able to do the webcast. We do not know how long we will be on the web. This week, I'm just giving a few things here before we pray. The Minister of Home Defense of England, Great Britain, issued a decree that 5 Americans are not welcome in Great Britain. One of them, the talk host, Savage, out of San Francisco. And the reason was given that these people are hate mongers, they are fomenting strife, and we do not want them in our country. And as you have a totalitarian regime, they cannot tolerate criticism. They cannot tolerate when somebody says this is not right. They will arrest. This is where we are today. And I really want you to be aware of this, that every day that we can do things, it is a privilege. The day will come when there will be night and no man can work. Let me read this letter to you that came in. There's an email came in to our production center. It is from Pakistan. I believe these are either American or British missionaries. And the names is Steve and, let me get the last name here. I had it there for a moment. This is from Steve and Cynthia Joseph. They could be Pakistani, but I don't believe so. Dear brother, praise the Lord. May the Lord bless your ministry and the good works. I just went through this website and found it very helpful. Pray for our ministry in Pakistan. Pray for the current situation in the country. They're at war now. These people live in Karachi, which is the biggest harbor in Pakistan. It's probably the safest place right there. If possible, please send us your newsletters and sermons. I'm ministering to a small group of people, and the Lord has blessed us hoping to hear from you. Much regards, Steve. And we do suddenly want to pray for them and thank God for them. We are going into many different places, but time is running short. We're going to pray also here for Debbie Machado. This is the daughter of Bob and Diane Cadle. And Debbie right now is in a hospital up in Roseville. She will have to decide whether or not to submit to chemotherapy. They diagnosed that she was taken to the hospital this week, had problem breathing, and I believe the cancer has spread to her liver, or is it the kidneys? Kidneys, liver, okay? Cancer spread to the liver and the lymph nodes. The doctors had prognosed it 2 months to live, and they want now to do chemotherapy. I want to say this. Now, this is probably illegal to say this, but you know the cancer industry in our market is the biggest enterprise we have right now. They've been working to find a cure for the last 30 years. They will never find it because it's a most profit-giving or profit, producing enterprise. And very few people, you know, when you get chemotherapy, they usually, you know, speed things up. And Debbie's immune system is very low as it is. But she cannot make a decision. No one can make it for her. I was there a few days ago. The doctor came in, talked with her, and then he said, "Now, have you made up your mind yet when we're going to start the chemo?" There's pressure on her. So I believe this. This is how my wife and I prayed. We have prayed that God will do with her as he did to King Hezekiah, gave her another few years. So that's really what we want to do. All right, let's have prayer time then. So let's come on up here and pray for these different things. Thomas, will you pray for this here in Pakistan? Okay, can you pray for Debbie? And then we're going to ask for some other things here. Okay, we're going to ask people to pray for our email.
Those two black pastors.
Going to pray. Can you cover them?
Yeah.
You will cover them. All right. I'm going to be asking Sister Joanne if you can pray for our email, that will be handled. And then we're going to ask, I'm going to pray about Harvey Milk. And let's see here. God's standing here. Who would like to pray for the 60-year-old boy that was arrested? Anyone would like to pray for him?
I would.
You pray for that 60-year-old boy? Okay. And then...
I believe they're holding that boy without any kind of trial, anything.
No, he's just held.
Yeah.
He's just held. Okay, and also we're going to pray against the swine flu. And by the way, I forgot to say that we work. Right now, a German website has a write-up from us on the swine flu. Very extensive. And we're working on to get it up on our American site, and hopefully we get it up on Spanish, or Spanish and Swedish. So let's begin to pray. This is Thomas, I'll let you start.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to assemble here in the United States, Lord, and to take part in freedom of speech, freedom of thought. And we thank you for those liberties, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for protecting them for us, and also for giving us a voice that proclaims truth. And we thank you for that opportunity, Lord. And we want to lift up the situation in Pakistan with the war and fighting going on there, and for this missionary couple, Steve Steve and Cynthia Joseph, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you move them to find our website. And we thank you, Father, that they recognize truth. And, Lord, we ask your blessing upon them as they minister to those that are living in Pakistan, Lord. And we know it's tough out there. So we ask, Lord, that you put a special blessing upon them, meeting their all their needs, emotional needs, financial needs, Lord, spiritual needs. And we thank you for that, Lord. And also want to lift up these two black pastors that were arrested for holding a sign up that said, Jesus is Lord. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to take those men. They're going to be burning candles, Lord. And they're going to show the world that it is still good to stand for righteousness, Lord. And Father, that that there will be some high-powered attorneys that come to their aid and stand in the gap, Lord, some Christian attorneys. We thank you, Father, for that whole situation is going to be squashed and that American people will wake up to what's going on, because that is just one instance, Lord. There's people under trial in Philadelphia for street preaching. There's many, many instances all over the United States where the police are stopping people from preaching the gospel, and they're telling them, you got to go into this free speech zone. And we have a map of the United States with a constitutional free zone, all kinds of attack on our liberty, Lord. We thank you, Father, for protecting our liberty and give us more time. And we thank you, Father, for waking up people to realize what's going on. Sunday school is not a picnic. And we thank you, Father, for protection upon these two pastors. We thank you, Father, for meeting them right where they are and fortifying them, giving them strength, Lord. Give them comfort in the word, Lord, and let them not be abused in any way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we just thank you and praise you that we have email. We thank you and praise you that there are those that can ruin the email electronically whenever they choose to. And we thank you and praise you that what you want to go out from this church or come into this church through email, you'll blind their eyes to it, and it will come through by God Almighty. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in this country. We know that judgment is here. We pray that the people hear you, that they love you, that they want you, and they come into Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. And Father, if we be doing anything in our church that's blocking it from coming in or going out, we pray that you show us. And that we change, we confess and repent anything. Thank you and praise you, Father God, for the privilege of being alive today, that you've chosen this church to tell the truth. And we don't have fear, and we're not going to have fear, because we know who you are. And we love you, we trust you, and we give you the honor and give you the glory for all things that are happening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we lift up Debbie Machado again to you, Lord. Father, you know where she is. You know the whole situation. And Father God, you are just waiting for us to ask you to heal this young woman. Father, it is not your will that she be taken out of life early. I know it isn't, because your word says so. Your word says that when Jesus was here on the earth, everyone who came to him for healing was healed. Everyone. It said, and they were all healed. And that's a simple statement, but it covers a lot of territory. Father God, I know all about cancer, and I have helped people to overcome it without any chemotherapy. And even those who had chemotherapy or radiation were healed by natural things. Father, we can do that, and it's a slower way. But Debbie's in critical shape right now. She needs your strong hand right now, Lord. She needs the power of the Holy Spirit to surge through their body and destroy every cell and every cancer cell in that body and line up with your word, which says, by Jesus' stripes we have been healed. And Father, we're trusting in that and we're believing in it and we're holding her up to you, Lord, and asking you and pleading with you to please do something for this young woman immediately, Lord, to show those doctors that there is a God in heaven and that he cares for his own and that there is nothing too difficult for you and that they don't need chemotherapy and radiation, which costs a fortune and makes people bankrupt in their personal lives just to try to get the thing, and it's deadly and it kills them instead of giving them life, and then it kills them in a painful, horrid way. Father, we want better for Debbie. We ask you, Lord, touch her now. Touch her, oh God, and yes, have compassion on her. Have mercy. Forgive her sins and heal her, Lord. And be healed, Debbie, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, everything that's happening in this world, Lord, is no surprise to you. You know it's coming. And, oh Lord, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And, oh Lord, we lift up this 16-year-old man, and we pray, Father, that you will vindicate that man. And nothing will happen, O Lord. Nothing will happen to that man, O Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we pray, O Lord, that you convict those people that came against him. Accuse him as a terrorist. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Let you be his defender, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let you bring conviction in every person responsible, O Lord, for capturing the young man. And we thank you and praise you, Father, that they will receive their just rewards. You said in your word, O Lord, in Proverbs 11, as righteousness tendeth to life, he that pursues evil pursue it to his own death. And we pray, Father, for conviction, and, O Lord, that they will receive their just rewards, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that young man will be justified, and he will be vindicated, and he will be released, and people will find out what the government is doing, how unjust they are. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for speeding, O Lord, the release of the young man. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today, and pray this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for the state of California right now where we live. Father, it's a disgrace for lawmakers to pass legislation to dedicate publicly a day out of the year to a man that was a moral failure, accomplished nothing positive on this earth, Father God, but contributed to the moral decay of our state and our nation. And Father God, I'm not afraid to say this, but according to the word of God, this man is burning in hell right now with no hope. And now they're trying to honor him, a failed man that died in his sins and will spend eternity in a lake of fire. I pray, Father God, for the Jewish lawmakers in California that, Father God, you will convict them. Because in the Old Testament, it states that homosexuality is a sin. That's what Moses wrote, that God spoke to him. And it was never approved by the nation of Israel in the old days. And Father God, I pray for these modern day Jews, that you would convict them for having strayed from their roots and abandoned the Torah, the Word of God. And I pray particularly for this man Steinberg, who's a leader of the Democrats here in Sacramento, that you would convict him, that at least a rabbi will speak to him and say, Mr. Steinberg, homosexuality is a sin according to the Torah. We thank you, Father God. Lord, we just ask you right now that you will destroy this attempt. And that instead of their being successful, let them stand ashamed of having tried to do this deed. And Father God, we pray for our church right now. We pray, Lord, as the swine flu is swirling around us, that no one attending this church, no one affiliated with us, will come down with this flu. But that God supernaturally will keep us well. And we stand on Mark chapter 16. That if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. And Father God, if we inhale something, viruses or germs, whatever it is, it shall die upon impact on our bodies. Not us. And we thank you right now for moving, having heard our prayers today, and give us victory in these last days. And this we ask in Jesus' name, and those who are great said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's have the outlines handed out.